Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Kentucky's governor has been cleared in a state hiring scandal. A judge today dismissed the charges against Governor Ernie Fletcher, and he's doing it without prejudice, meaning the charges cannot be brought again. A special grand jury spent a year investigating whether Governor Fletcher's administration broke Kentucky law by using political considerations to make personnel decisions about who got jobs. The Republican governor indicted in May on charges including criminal conspiracy and official misconduct. In dismissing the charges today, the judge says Fletcher acknowledges the evidence strongly indicates wrongdoing by his administration and admitted his actions were inappropriate, but the judge says that's not an admission of guilt. In response to families' complaints, the U.S. Army has started to go back over casualty reports of American soldiers killed on duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. Two senior military officials say the review of hundreds of casualties will be formalized in a directive in a few weeks. This review provoked by families who complained that they were not always given accurate information about the loss of loved ones in the service. Among the highest profile cases, that of Corporal Pat Tillman, who quit a career in the NFL to join the Army Rangers after 9/11. Tillman killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan in April 2004, but his family was told he'd been killed by enemy fire. Three American soldiers among the latest victims of violence in Iraq today, according to the U.S. military, all died in or near Baghdad. One was shot dead by a gunman who attacked his patrol, another killed by a roadside bomb, and a third fell during a raid the military says was aimed at capturing foreign terrorists, two of whom were also killed in the firefight. Four young Muslim men being charged in connection with what authorities say were plans for a European terror attack. Prosecutors in Denmark say these suspects helped supply explosives and weapons to blow up an unidentified target. The four had been in custody since October, but they deny any wrongdoing. Authorities in Germany say a second main suspect in a failed plot to blow up two German trains arrested. Prosecutors there say the man surrendered to police in his native Lebanon. Relatives say the man's parents agreed to hand him over, learning their 20-year-old son was wanted by police. The other main suspect, a 21-year-old student from Lebanon, was arrested in Germany over the weekend. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Just looking at CNN, the font at the bottom says, "Is car a killer? Developing story. Live!" Oh, God. Joining us in just a few minutes is former Rush Limbaugh fan, ditto head, Jim Derich. And we've invited him on to discuss his conversion on the road to sanity, you know, away from Limbaugh, and his book, Confessions of a Former Ditto Head. As it usually works in talk radio, when did we get this book? Today? We just got it today. I've only been able to read about 17 pages, but this is pretty cool. So he's going to be on. His name is Jim Derich. I believe that's how you spell it. If you paid any attention to the annual Coast Convention in Vegas last month, you probably saw him speak. And if you visit the Daily Coast site, he's known as Advisor Jim at that site. So anyway, Jim Derich is going to join us in about 25 minutes. Confessions of a Former Ditto Head. A couple of emails regarding last night's program. This is from Carol. She writes, "Mike, I have to agree completely with the sentiment you expressed last night that people aren't doing enough. I am working 15 to 25 hours a week on a congressional campaign in addition to my full-time job. My task is supposed to be organizing volunteers. But when you call 35 and only one has time to do a lit drop this week," and I guess what's that, literature drop? Handing out literature this weekend, it's pretty discouraging. "Campaigns need help now, not just at the end. If people leave the work to a handful of us, there is a chance it won't get done. I'm feeling disgusted at all the people who say they'll volunteer and then can't ever be bothered. We get the government we deserve." Carol. This is from Alicia. She writes, "I've been ranting and raving for a while now. Listening to you, listening to Randy, seeking out information, reading, writing, reading, listening, reading some more. Right after November 2004, when I first started my blog, Last Left Turn Before Hooterville, I couldn't understand why people were voting for a regime who was actively hurting them, why the chickens were voting for Colonel Sanders. That kind of insanity made my head hurt. I can understand completely why the Bush crime family and the neocons do what they do. No puzzle there. They're the beneficiaries of this corruption. But the average working Joe whose job has been outsourced, whose paycheck buys less and less every year, whose kids are cannon fodder, why would they vote for these thugs who treat them like so much Charmin? Stockholm Syndrome? But finally, the puzzle piece has fallen into place. I just started reading George Lakoff, the Berkeley linguistics professor and social scientist, who writes extensively about framing. He says that people tend to see the country as a one of two family metaphors, the strict father, which is conservative, and the nurturant parent, which is progressive, oh, the hell with it, liberal. Of course, you may already know about Lakoff, but he's new to me. He claims that these frames are so deeply ingrained within our personalities that if a fact conflicts with it, it simply slides off. So it really doesn't matter if Bush lies. He's the strict father taking care and protecting us, and the pesky facts have no effect on these people. It's the only explanation that makes sense to me. But Lakoff does more than explain. He offers ways to counter this. I, for one, used to think that if only the facts were out there, people would wake up and rise up against these murderers, but it doesn't work that way. It's not just the Bush crime family, but conservatism itself that is the real enemy. If you wonder why Republicans are suddenly coming out against George Bush, don't be fooled. It's because since he can't be reelected, he's the perfect fall guy. If they can blame every disaster that they've inflicted on us on the cowboy coward of Crawford, then when he's out, they'll get a better conservative in. Bad Bush. Naughty Bush. Not that Bush has been anything but a brain-damaged puppet since before day one, but you know, and I know, it's the bigger picture, the multinational corporations, the military-industrial complex that is supported by this anti-democratic conservative regime. Believe me, everything is going just swimmingly for these people. No mistakes there. So I bumped it up a notch. I started by phone banking for a candidate I really like, peace activist Marcy Winograd, who ran against the hawkish Jane Harmon. Although she didn't win, she got 40% of the vote in only 3 months as a political unknown. Then after the election, I got in touch with her to see what she was involved in. She's the president of the Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles, which is the local branch of PDA, Progressive Democrats of America. So I joined and asked what I can do to help. I'm now involved in the PDLA. I started a donation team on my blog for Habitat for Humanity to collect money for Katrina. I'm auctioning off a copy of Greg Palast's Arm Madhouse that I got him to sign to Hooterville. And the biggest donor gets the book. Right now, we've almost reached our goal of $500. Okay, so I'm not Cindy Sheehan. I'm not single-handedly changing the world, but I'm doing more than I was before. I've gone from talk to action, because I'll be damned if I'll support this regime by my inaction. And now that I have some clue as to why these people are being supported by the very people who they despise, use, and suck the life out of, I feel more hopeful about being able to combat them. Alicia. Thanks, Alicia. Yeah, that's a good letter. I like that. And her blog site, just look it up. I've got the link here, but I'd have to. I don't have the link exactly. It's Last Left Turn Before Hooterville, like in what was that TV series?
Petticoat Junction.
Petticoat Junction. That's right. Petticoat Junction. Last Left Turn Before Hooterville. That's Alicia's website. Nick in Ohio writes, Mike, I just thought I'd throw in my two cents on the subject of nonviolent resistance that you talked about last night. The ideals of Gandhi and MLK are all well and good, in fact, very effective, assuming your opponent has a conscience to appeal to. Without such a moral conscience, nonviolent resistance is either, at best, ignored, or at worst, well, we're all familiar with Tiananmen back in 89. We're a long way off from Lexington and Concord, but you can't let the storm clouds of tyranny roll over your country for the sake of nonviolence or peace. Nick in Ohio. Yeah, there is that argument. It's not so much, I don't think, that the nonviolent, massive nonviolent resistance to this corrupt regime in this country would do anything to change a political system directly. It would change indirectly. If 50 million people just stopped doing whatever it is that we do every day, then the machine comes to a stop. It's just like, what is it, Rage Against the Machine? There comes a point where you have to throw your body into the cogs. Who said that? That was Mario Savio said that way back in the early 60s, mid-60s in California. There is, I got an email also that said, rather than massive resistance, if everybody would just pick up on this idea that's been kicked around now for about a year, nobody seems to be able to get it off the ground, and that is just to stop buying stuff. Just stop. For a while. Make a point. Gabrielle writes, Mike, please, please, why are you referring to the lowly Karl Rove as a genius? Evil is so easy to do, real easy. Good, creative, clean is difficult to do. So please stop referring to this slimeball as a genius. Gandhi was a genius, not this Rove creep. Thank you, Gabrielle. I mean evil, I believe there's an evil genius. Anyone who can construct the sort of day-to-day plotting and manipulation that Rove has done to 300 million of us is a genius by definition. He you know, now the qualifier is the word evil. And I got to tell you about this pastor and his wife and her two brothers in Washburn, Missouri, Baptist. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. You know when you open a birthday card from grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
The man can.
Well, that's me. The man can. So, from the Ozark section of the Land of the Free and the Home of the Brave, the minister of a church there, it is the Grand Valley Baptist Church. The minister, his wife, and her two brothers have been busted and jailed. Are they out on bond? I don't know if they're out on bond. They are accused of molesting young girls in their congregation for years, sometimes as part of a religious ritual. Oh, my God. I'm not laughing at the abuse. I'm laughing at the madness. The county prosecutor says the Reverend Raymond Lambert, 51, of Grand Valley Baptist Church, repeatedly had sex with two underage girls with the help of his 49-year-old wife, Patty. For 10 years, the pastor told the girls, quote, "We are preparing your body for service to God," end quote, the prosecutor said. Patty Lambert's brothers, Paul Epling, 53, and Tom Epling, 51, are each accused of repeatedly having sex with girls as young as four. All four defendants face molestation and sodomy charges. Their attorney said they denied the allegations. All four turned themselves in on Monday and were released on bond. A preliminary hearing was scheduled for October 2nd. Lambert's church is on property owned by the Epling brothers and houses up to 100 people on a 100-acre farm in western McDonald County, according to the sheriff there. The sheriff told the Associated Press, quote, "They refer to it as a compound," end quote. Blah, 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 blah. So just, I mean, these stories come up all the time. Preparing your body for service to God. Isn't that what the freaks here at the International Harvester? No, that's a, what was it called? That's a threshing machine. What was the church here?
Chapel Hill Harvester.
Chapel Hill Harvester, right. There was a minister out there, what was his name, Bishop Polk?
That would be, yes, Bishop Earl Polk.
Earl Polk and his brothers were accused of raping and battering. And they had one of those mega churches, one of the first mega churches in the country. My God, they must have had about 5,000 members. And they would counsel the women on how to make their marriages work and stuff like that, right?
Up close and personal.
Up close and personal.
He had one of them living in a house right behind his house with her husband. Yeah. You remember that, Earl Polk did?
Yeah, and he still pops up here in the Atlanta area every once in a while for something, doesn't he? Has he got another church?
I think he actually now has cancer, not to have, no schadenfreude, but I don't think the man has long to live. Now, that's not to say his sons are in bad health, and they were just as evil perpetrators as he was.
It's awful. It's just
sexual abuse and financial abuse of their members.
It's just awful. Every time I see one of these stories, and they're everywhere, every place you look. If you want to see something that will really turn your stomach, I don't know where you get this list. Somebody sent it to me again today. But it's all the Republican officials, you know, from the city, county, state, and federal level who have been charged with child porn or child molestation. They're Republicans. They're all Republicans. All Republicans. It's astonishing. It's frightening. It's shameful. They're all Republicans, all members of the family values crowd. Terrible stuff. Two Asian students were thrown off a plane because their fellow passengers feared that the students, were suicide bombers. This was on a flight from Spain, Malaga, Spain to Manchester. This is on a British, one of the British airlines. And the two students from Manchester, England, Sahal Ashraf and Karam Zeb, they're both 22. They said they sympathized with the nervous travelers, but urged people not to be paranoid about Muslims. Ashraf told the Daily Mirror, quote, "We might be Asian, but we're just two ordinary lads who wanted a bit of fun. Just because we're Muslim does not mean we are suicide bombers." The pair were marched off the jet at gunpoint after fellow passengers alerted officials on the flight back from Malaga. How do you say that? Malaga, Spain. Holidaymakers on board flight ZB613 from Malaga to Manchester became alarmed at the men's behavior and demanded the air staff remove them from the plane. Cabin crew informed Spanish authorities of the passengers' fears, and men were taken off Monarch Airlines flight and quizzed by police. The plane had been due to take off at 3 a.m. Wednesday. It was delayed by around 3 hours. Some passengers reportedly stormed off the Airbus 320 aircraft and refused to fly unless the pair were removed. They were quizzed by officers for several hours, then put up in a hotel and allowed to fly back to the UK later that day. This is becoming common, right? So not all the crazy bastards are here. You know, the UK has their share too, right? And have you heard about this Republican candidate for a seat in Congress who said that the U.S. government is complicit in the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attack? A Republican, a strict constitutionalist. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Coming back, we're going to be joined by Jim Barrich, Confessions of a Former Ditto Head. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
I've got to go by what he told me. Try to tell the truth and stand your ground. Don't let the bastards get you down.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, four ultrasound tests, no needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Yeah, that's a part of the song you never hear.
But my family was gone.
You know what that is!
I stood on the back porch.
Rush Limbaugh's theme song! Joining us from Memphis, Tennessee, is Jim Derrich, who is the author of a very interesting little book I just started reading, Confessions of a Former Ditto Head. Jim, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. Derrich?
Nailed it, Mike. Very few people get that right, Jim? On the first shot, so I'm very impressed. That music's just like a homecoming, I tell you. When I found out that song had words, that was like a real eye-opener for me.
Yeah, Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders, and you never hear the words.
You do not. It's a fantastic song.
It is.
It's like a whole new world has been opened up to me.
Confessions of a Former Ditto Head. The first and obvious question is, why a confession at all?
Well, I am one of the unfortunate millions of Americans who at some point in our lives have voted for Bush. I felt like I voted for Bush in 2000. By the 2004 election, I actually campaigned for and gave money to Kerry, hoping that by electing John Kerry, I would have made amends for the sins of my past.
Right.
Unfortunately, as we all know, that didn't work out quite the way I wanted it to.
Yeah.
So after that was done, you know, like many Americans, I went down into my bunker, you know, for a couple months, and then I came out in about February and realized that the sun was still shining and, you know, the world was still going on and I needed to be a part of it. And so I started blogging on the Daily Coast website saying, well, look, I got to get this stuff off my chest. These are all of the stupid things that I used to believe, and this is why I changed my mind.
And out of that came the book.
Out of that came the book. And, you know, funnily enough, after, you know, I've been doing this for about 4 or 5 months now, trying to come up with the shortest explanation possible for what it is that changed my mind. And the simplest way to say it is I became a truth seeker. You know,
well,
as
usually happens, Jim, we got your book today. I've only read about the first 20 pages along with the introduction, and I'm hooked. When I go home tonight, I'm going to read this. This is a quick read. I bet I can read this probably tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not that credit my publisher with that, because I'd originally just spent a lot more time writing, and they said, you know what, as a lean read, there's a lot of really, we could make this a very dense and lean read, and that's what they did. I think it does contain a lot of really good information that I think a lot of progressives would find helpful in trying to get through to their Republican and Democrat family
well,
members.
Well, you know, in the beginning of the book here, you explain how you love your dad, and that's admirable that you should state that up front, because it was your father who turned you on to Limbaugh.
And
I believe, if I remember, I should remember, I just read it 2 hours ago, he was on a car trip when you were going off for your first year away at school, and your dad had 3 hours of Limbaugh on.
That's correct. It was I went to the famous liberal bastion of the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, which in Tennessee that gets a huge laugh. Anywhere else in the country, not so much. But
no, I can laugh at it because I live in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, you're very close. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So UT Knoxville is not exactly the liberal bastion of the
no,
state.
No, not at all.
It is the reddest part of a red state.
It is. Well, what was it that attracted you? I've got it here in the book, but just synopsize for us. What was it that attracted you to Limbaugh?
Well, you know, give the devil his due. I mean, there are two things. Number one is I started listening to him when I was 18 years old, and, you know, I don't think it was – I did not have a particularly large arsenal of political beliefs by the time I was age 18. You know, I was more concerned with other things, which I think is healthy. But I grew up in a, you know, fairly religious, conservative household, and what Rush said basically supported the beliefs that my parents kind of brought me up believing, you know, and sort of this is the way the world works. You don't even need to go out in the world to find out. This is just how it works. And so, I mean, you know, give the devil his due. Rush has a tremendous ability to condense complex issues into really simple little sound bites that may or may not reflect the reality of the situation, but they just make you feel good. You know, it's about feeling better over, it's about feeling good over doing good, really. And so his ability to make the complex seem understandable and then make you feel like an insider.
Right.
Like you understand politics and no one else does. It's funny, I heard you mention at the top of the hour, I was on a panel with George Lakoff at the Yearly Coast, and he talked about that sort of father figure mentality that a lot of people on the right have. And the way that sort of translates is that if you don't believe the father figure message, you kind of look at people who disagree with that as children.
You'll
notice that in the way Ditto Heads kind of treat you, is that they're like, you know, if you only understood politics, you'd be a Republican. Clearly you don't understand politics. You just are like a child, and you need to grow up and become an adult and become a Republican. So it's kind of funny to hear that, because that was sort of the process. You look at liberals as being just sort of confused and, you know, and childlike.
Well, you know, I remember when David Brock did his 180 and came out with Confessions of a Right-Wing Hitman.
Right.
Which started as an article in Esquire magazine, I believe, back in 1999 or 2000, and then Brock has come around. I'm not saying he's, you know, some absolute liberal, but he's realized the horror of neoconservatism or conservatism as it's being presented to the American public now.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say for the record, I've said on the program many times when I was a kid growing up, conservatives were, you know, pretty decent people. They
right.
they differed from liberals. But they were pretty mainstream, and like liberals, they believed in working and going to church and doing your thing, and kind of. Now they were retrograde, I think, in certain areas. But you could even marry a conservative.
Right.
You could have children and be happy. But those days seem to be gone. So I get the impression that your book is kind of like Brock's. And I need to ask you something with all due respect.
Sure.
Folks on the left, and I have to put myself into this category, even after reading, what's his name, Thomas Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas?
Right.
We, I should say, on the left, or on the liberals or progressives, whatever, don't really understand how and why the ditto heads can support political figures like those in the Bush crime family, whose actions are totally contrary to their own self-interest, like workers' rights or civil liberties or government programs or health care, safety regulations.
Right.
My God, minimum wage, national security, education funding, on and on and on and on. So
right.
can you just take us on a brief trip inside the ditto head mind?
Yeah.
Like you do in your book.
Yeah, I mean, that's the I kind of originally just kind of try to make the, again, in sort of a Rush Limbaugh fashion, to try to make the complex understandable. I sort of simplify it and call it sort of a right-wing reasoning chip. That all ditto heads kind of have implanted in their minds, that you sort of have to try to get around this chip. Like anything that disagrees with their worldview, they can automatically discard. Doesn't matter how factual, doesn't matter how, where it comes from. If it disagrees with the worldview, they can throw it out. There are two things that are sort of at play when you talk about that. There are two core tenets to the conservative movement that really override a lot of, and you're exactly right. I mean, it's practically Orwellian what we're looking at now. It's not even practically. It is Orwellian what we're looking at now in terms of this administration. And if there's one phrase, by the way, that has, I just finished a 20-city book tour, and if there's one phrase that I heard everywhere I went, everyone is using the Bush crime phrase terminology, Bush crime family terminology. So.
Really? Well, that's interesting.
Congratulations to adding that to the lexicon, because I think it's great. I love it. But because it is very godfathery, this administration. But
it is indeed.
There are two things that kind of anchor the conservative belief system. Number one is the belief in a moral free market. That left unregulated, a free market is a totally moral entity and will always do what is in the best interest of the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it didn't, the consumer would buy stuff from somewhere else. Now you want to talk about childlike fantasies. That's,
sure.
That is a childlike fantasy that the free market is moral, and that's one of the things that you know. Professionally, I'm a financial advisor. I'm basically a stockbroker, and believe me, I've seen enough in the corporate world that you know it would curl your hair to see what goes on there. Number two is a belief, but that's the free market being a moral entity. Number two is the idea that they don't believe that the government has any place. The free market. I mean, any kind of regulation that's trying to prevent the free market from doing what the free market does, which is basically get away with as much as it can, that's just capitalism. It's the price of doing business. Number two is this idea, the core tenet of conservatism, which is personal responsibility. And you hear them talk about this all the time, that if people would just take responsibility for their actions, it's people blaming things other than themselves for their failures. If you fail, it's because you failed as a person, not because the system failed you or because capitalism failed you or because there's no other reason. There's nothing to blame but yourself when you have a personal failure. And so to say that anything else could be responsible, they kind of view as being either sort of racist or, you know, it's a very different definition. But this idea of the free market and personal responsibility essentially precludes anything that they could vote on from a government standpoint that would not be in their best interest, because they don't see the government as having any role over their own personal well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's sort of the quick and dirty version of how you can sort of throw off anything. I mean, you know, you're paying $3 a gallon for gas. There's no alternative. I don't know about you. I mean, you know, other than converting my car to run off of cooking grease, which I think is a great idea, you know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of options for me to put things in my car other than gas.
Right, right, right. So, well, that kind of explains it. On the other hand, I've always had the impression that, not necessarily from listening to Limbaugh's callers, who sometimes see and seem intelligent and in their worldview rational, but the things that he says that are utter and absolutely untrue, that requires just a few keystrokes to find that it's absolutely not true. And, and that's the part I can't get my mind around. Hey, I got to do a break here. We'll come right back. Okay,
great.
All right, we're talking with Jim Derich. He is. You ought to get this book. I'm telling you, I've only gotten it today, read about 20 pages. It's excellent. Confessions of a Former Ditto Head. And it's one of those books you don't read gloating and going, ah, ha, so, ah, ha. It's more like you read David Brock's Confessions of a Right-Wing Hit. Blinded by the Right is the book I was trying to think of. But stick around. More conversation with Jim coming back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too?
idea of people growing corn that gets converted into energy. The more corn there is, the more we have to eat. The more corn there is, the more energy there is.
Yeah! We're talking with Jim Derrich, who's the author of Confessions of a Former Ditto Head. Buy this book. You can get it for under $15, under $14. You got to buy this book and read it. Jim defines Ditto Head on the cover as it's a self-identifying term used by fans of Rush Limbaugh. Characteristics include a belief in the infallibility of Rush, the Republican Party, and Fox News, a hatred of all things liberal, and the uncanny ability to deny any information or, quote, facts, close quote, that contradict their worldview. You know, when you were talking about, Jim, about the free market and how it's supposed to be moral, if anything, of course, it's amoral. It has nothing to do with morality. But I think the free market could operate fine with no government regulations at all if the free market consisted of people going to the marketplace with something they grew, dug out of the ground, or made, and sold it to somebody who was there to buy it. If the free market consisted of that simple transaction, let's do it. No problem.
Right.
But once you you would know this far better than I. Once you enter into the arena with financial instruments and the corporate this and stockholders and profit and loss, then you must have some sort of restrictions, or not necessarily restrictions, but rules by which everybody plays. And I've never understood why conservative Republicans don't just relish that idea, because then it's a level playing field, and they can. Well, I guess I just answered my own question.
Exactly. That's sort of the. I was very much able to turn a blind eye to that as a conservative. And anytime you would hear somebody criticize practices like those engaged in by Walmart, where they would essentially sell products at a loss until all of their competition went out of business, and then jack up the prices after the competition is gone. You would turn a blind eye to that because you would just say, well, those are just liberals who, you know, don't like big business and don't believe in the free market and don't understand how it works. And you would just you would turn a blind eye to it and just figure, you know, it's funny because as we're sort of seeing the logical conclusion here of this conservative free market methodology is that we're really only going to have one corporation left.
That's
going to own everything versus one government owning everything on a communist kind of side or socialist side.
That's very true.
The key is balance. It's like the Dalai Lama. You know, mm-hmm. the middle road. It's moderation in all things. You've got to have competition. We've got to start the trust busting of some of these companies that we've just sort of allowed to become one giant company.
Oh my God! You sound like a Roosevelt reformer now. Let me ask you this. Before my time, but I've heard the tapes. There was a guy on radio in the United States, a Catholic priest named Father Coughlin, and he was a Nazi sympathizer. Mm. This is in the 30s. He was on the NBC. NBC had two networks, the blue and the red, ironically. And I believe he was on the Blue Network until finally enough complaints came in that they took him off. And what Father Coughlin would talk about would be the sense in forming an alliance with the Nazis in Germany that Americans, the Brits, and the Nazis should form this alliance. All right. He was a danger to this republic, and eventually he was taken off the air. Honestly and truthfully, do you see Limbaugh and right-wing talk radio in general, but Limbaugh specifically, as being a danger to this society?
I think if you look at the Republican Party today, I personally believe that the Republican Party is where it is today because of Rush.
I agree with that.
Because Rush sort of made it cool to be a Republican, quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes. You can't see that on the radio.
Right.
He sort of made it okay to be Republican. There used to be, I don't want to say a stigma, but there used to be kind of a coldness associated with being a Republican that I think Rush helped get rid of. In that sense, this current Republican administration has been ruinous to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how. You know, I would love to see the free market work and have people say, oh, my God, Rush is full of crap. Like when he says things like, you know, 90% of people earning minimum wage or 18-year-olds working their first job. which is just demonstrably false, but I would have believed it totally. One of the things I believed as a ditto head was that we had more forested land today than we did when Columbus discovered America. Where did I get that from?
I know, but is he a danger? Is right-wing talk in general, and Limbaugh specifically, a danger? By that I mean, any way you want to interpret it, but a danger to the idea of representative government, of the experiment that the framers laid down for us to get involved in. Is he a danger to the American Republic?
I would say yes, but I don't think he thinks that. I mean, there are people who think...
Oh, no, I'm sure he doesn't.
He's being calculated and cold and evil. I agree totally. Yeah, this is a danger to the Republic. This is absolutely a danger to the Republic. This is some kind of government that he has helped create.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even recognize it anymore. I don't know what it is. And the fact that he doesn't apologize for it is just remarkable. I think it is absolutely a danger to this democracy and this Republic. I mean, they hate us for our freedom, so the answer is take away all our freedoms. I mean, that's just not the way we should have gone with that.
That's very true. Jim, we got about a minute left. What do you, other than making a few bucks, which is an honorable profession, what do you want to gain by the publishing of this book?
I would like for progressives, liberals, what have you, to finally understand what the hell it is that's going through their ditto head relatives' minds, and to take some talking points with them to help them change their minds. You're not going to do it overnight. It's like that song Alice's Restaurant, you know, with the circles and the arrows and the paragraph on the back of each one, and it's blind.
Right.
You got to go a piece at a time. We're going to have to win this back a piece at a time. And I think I give some helpful advice there on how to score little points with the ditto heads in your life. Because you're not going to get them to say Bush is a liar. You're not going to get them to call it the Bush crime family. Maybe in a couple of years. But right now, that's not going to happen. Take the baby steps that will start to make them realize what the right is doing to this country is absolutely wrong. They are destroying this country, and we've got to do something to stop them.
So you do think that ditto heads are salvageable?
I think I'm living proof.
Well, yeah, the reality of you notwithstanding, a lot of people just, you must have had, and I'm sure I'll find this in the book, there must have been, if not an epiphanous moment, at least a series of moments that caused you to change your mind. But I'll have to read the book. Listen, Jim, thank you so much. I do appreciate you taking time to come on the program tonight, and good luck with the book, okay?
It was a real honor, Mike. Thank you so much.
All right, sir. All right. The name of the book is Confessions of a Former Ditto Head by Jim Derrich. Buy it. Just go buy it. If for no other reason, just to find out what happened. What happened to one man, all right? Okay, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. You traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me in the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Palestinian officials have now denounced the demands of a group that kidnapped a Fox TV news crew 10 days ago. The tough talk comes from a spokesman for the Interior Ministry, which is controlled by Hamas. He says officials are shocked by the group's demand that the U.S. release Muslim prisoners from its jails by Saturday. The spokesman says there is no need for what he calls a new door of hostility open with the U.S. The reporter and cameraman for Fox News were captured August 14th in Gaza. Both were seen on a videotape yesterday. One of them's wife says seeing it brought great relief and comfort, but she says while she doesn't doubt the suffering of the Palestinians, she says these two men were not responsible. A big decision from France, which is now planning to send more peacekeepers to Lebanon than had first been announced. The French president says a total of 2,000 French soldiers will be part of the multinational force, and the French, who already have a small peacekeeping force in Lebanon, now want to stay in control. It was earlier thought Italy would take the lead. France said last week it would only double the 200 troops in their current contingent. That disappointed many countries who thought French would do more. In explaining the about-face, the French leader says the UN has now clarified some issues. France known to be concerned about making sure the peacekeepers are allowed to react in any hostile situation. The foreign minister of Israel says extremists are watching. She's calling on the international community to act quickly to deploy a UN force to keep the peace in southern Lebanon. And she says militants will see any foot dragging as a test of the international community's strength and determination. A European Union official says the EU wants to see peacekeepers in place. Within a week, EU foreign ministers meet tomorrow in Brussels to discuss the makeup of the international force. The United Nations is saying Secretary General Kofi Annan will be traveling to the Mideast this week. Officials say he'll be looking for support of the UN resolution that led to the ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. Annan expected to visit Lebanon, Israel, and perhaps Syria and Iran. His first stop will be Brussels for that meeting Friday of European Union foreign ministers. The UN has appealed for European troops to balance pledges from several Muslim countries. They say that would make the force in Lebanon broadly acceptable then to both the Israelis and the Lebanese government. This is Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. What do you make of this? This is in New Hampshire's Nashua Telegraph newspaper. And apparently a Republican candidate for that area's congressional seat said yesterday that the United States government was complicit in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. What happened was the editorial board of the Telegraph had an interview with this candidate. Her name is Mary Maxwell. She's a Republican. And in the interview, she said the U.S. government had a role in killing nearly 3,000 people at the World Trade Center and Pentagon so that Americans would hate Arabs and would back the military when it bombed Muslim nations such as Iraq. Now, this woman is she's running for the 2nd District Congressional seat. She lives in Concord, New Hampshire. And the incumbent there, a representative, is Charles Bass. And the other person, the third person in the Republican primary, which will be September 12th, is the mayor of Berlin, New Hampshire, Bob Danderson. Ms. Maxwell would not specify, the Telegraph says, if she holds the opinion that the government stood by while terrorists hijacked the domestic airliners and used them as weapons, or if the government had a larger role by sanctioning and carrying out the attacks. In other words, she's not going to say, well, they let it happen or they made it happen. But she implicated the government. That would, you know, they don't say the Bush administration in the newspaper, so I'll say it. She implicated the Bush administration by saying that the September 11th attacks were meant, quote, to soften us up, to make us more willing to have more stringent laws here, which are totally against the Bill of Rights, to make us particularly focus on Arabs and Muslims and those strange persons who spend all their time creating little bombs, end quote, giving Americans a reason, quote, to hate them and fear them and therefore bomb them in Iraq for other reasons, end quote. Near the end of the interview, Ms. Maxwell pounded her fist on the table and asked the editors of the Telegraph why they weren't publishing more stories about the government's role in the terrorist attacks or proliferation of nuclear weapons. This candidate has no political experience. She lived abroad for the past quarter century with her husband, George, a pediatrician, and only recently returned to the U.S., she said. And it goes on. But as far as I know, this is pretty unusual. Any candidate whatsoever just coming out. Now, I realize that she is a novice, political novice. Who knows what's going to happen in the 2nd Congressional District in New Hampshire. Either as a result of what she said in this interview or not. But, I know nothing about that district. I would assume it's fairly conservative since it's represented by a Republican. But as far as I know, this is the first instance of a candidate of either party just coming out and saying, look, the Bush administration had a hand in this. The Bush administration is responsible. Wow. Okay. I just get the feeling sometimes that little by little, drip, 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 the truth may come out. What is the truth? I don't know. The truth regarding 9/11. I just know what we are told to accept is a lie. That's all I know. Couple more things here, and then we're going to take your phone calls. If you want to get online now, 866-303-2270. This is in the Times today. Evolutionary biology has vanished from the list of acceptable fields of study for recipients of a federal education grant for low-income college students. How about that? Now, a spokeswoman for the Department of Education, which administers the grants, said, oh, well, inadvertent. There's no explanation for it being off the list. It's always been an eligible major. Oops, oops, oops. Another spokeswoman said evolutionary biology would be restored to the list, but as of last night, it was still missing. Evolution. Gee, I wonder why evolutionary biology would be taken off the list from the Department of Education in the Bush crime family. Hello? Why would that be? Here, pull my finger. God. Evolutionary biology. The scientific study of the genetic, developmental, functional, and morphological patterns and processes and theoretical principles and the emergence and mutations of organisms over time. Oh, I see. That's why. Spokesman for the Department of Education described the omission as, it's a clerical mistake. Clerical mistake. Stephen Rissing, who's an evolutionary biologist at Ohio State University, said scientists who knew about the omission said they found the clerical explanation unconvincing, given the furor over challenges by the religious right to the teaching of evolution in public schools. It's just awfully coincidental, said Professor Rissing. Yeah, I would think so. No scholarship for you. You're going to study what? You're going to study whether or not we came from apes? Oh, no. God created us with a hank of hair and a piece of bone and, you know, evolutionary biology, you communists. Get out of here. Well, it's just a clerical error, so don't worry. If you had thought about applying for a grant up to $4,000 a year to further or to initiate your college education in evolutionary biology, it'll be back on the list very quickly. Right. It's an error. It's just a mistake. Now, I would imagine Catherine McLean, a spokeswoman for the Department of Education, and Samara Yudof, another spokeswoman for the Department of Education. I'm sure they're good Christian women. Well, I don't know about Samara Yudof. That's kind of an odd name. Maybe that's not Christian at all. That might be one of those cult religions, which is everything but Christianity, right? And then this one. This is from Shreveport, Louisiana. This is unnerving. I don't know what the full story is, but this is how it's being reported. 9 black children attending Red River Elementary School were directed last week to the back of the school bus by a white driver who said the front seats were for white children. I thought that was decided 50 years ago. The situation, according to the Shreveport Times, the situation has outraged relatives of the black children, and they filed a complaint with the school officials. The NAACP is also considering filing a formal charge with the U.S. Department of Justice. Oh, that'll work. The driver asked if the driver would work for the rest of the driver's been suspended. The principal, is it the principal? This Easley freak said, I'm not going to answer the question. You're getting all that you're going to get from me. I'm sorry. Get out of here. Get out of here. Who is this person? Oh, superintendent of the school system, or Kay Easley. I'm not going to tell you what happened to the driver. Get out of here. Red River Elementary School principal Jamie Lawrence tried to rectify the seating situation when it was brought to her attention, but apparently the... Now the nine black children were forced to sit on 2 seats, meaning the older children had to hold the younger ones in their laps, a couple of the young kids. Yeah, picture that now. Picture 2 seats on a school bus, 2 seats on a school bus, and 9 little kids get on to go get an education, and they're told, you little niggers, you go to the back of the bus. You little white darlings, come up here in front. Niggers in back, whites in the front, and you sit on those 2 seats. If you have to hold one another, go ahead and hold one another, but I don't hear a sound. Do you understand? Good God.
Widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail. By conservative Christian, right-wing Republican, straight white American man.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
Continue spending money on research and development to find ways to make corn economic.
No more corn from Bush, then, okay? The other thing I wanted to dump into the mix here tonight, quoting from the New York Times, the Bush crime family's big enabler where it concerns war, certainly the war in Iraq. But you see, they've had a conversion. They're not going to do that anymore. They have an article in today's paper that says some senior Bush administration officials and top Republicans are angry that American spy agencies have not issued warnings that are more spooky about the threats that they say Iran presents to the United States. These people lust after war. I whoever these people are, the Republicans and senior Bush administration officials, give them a rifle and throw their asses into the middle of Baghdad in one of those neighborhoods where the bombs go off and people get. I'm serious. Put Cheney in there. Put Rove. Put anybody. Put some of the senior members of the Senate in Republicans and senior Republicans in the House. It can't be just flat out murder. Give them a rifle. Give them a handgun. No body armor. Just in their suits and drop them off. And how long do you think they'd last? 30 seconds? You evil bastards. Here are Marines who have fought to stay alive. They're not fighting to win in Iraq. There's nothing to win. The Marines are fighting to stay alive. Of course, that's essentially what happens in every combat situation, just stay alive. But there's no fighting to win anything. So the Marines are there, struggling. So the Army, the regular Army, National Guard, Reserves, everybody that wears an American uniform is there. Who is there is fighting to stay alive until their tour is over. Their tour ends. They come home. They're embraced by their families. They say, okay, Jesus Christ, you don't know what I went through over there. And if they could speak the truth, the ones who are not physically injured, they would say to their families, look, it's going to be hell for the next couple, 3 years, if not for the rest of our lives together because of what I saw there, what happened to me there, what I did there, what I saw being done there. So little son, little daughter, wife, guess what? It's going to be a bitch. It's going to be awful. It's going to be horrible. But at least I'm home. I'm not dead. I don't have an arm blown off, a leg blown off, half my brain blown off. I'm home. Now let's try to adjust. And everybody tries to adjust. And what happens a week later? The Marine gets a notice that he's got to go back because these murderous bastards in Washington, in the Bush crime family, want more blood. Oh, my God. So now the Republicans are saying that the intelligence coming out about Iran is not terrifying enough. In other words, the American public is not being freaked enough. The sons of bitches are saying this. I'm sorry to keep saying sons of bitches on the air, but I can't stand this. I don't know what else to do. The same liars who forced this country, our military, into this war with Iraq are now demanding that we do the same in Iran over its, quote, nuclear program and its, quote, ties to terrorism. Sound familiar? Oh, but Mike, this is different. These people do have a nuclear program. Nuclear bombs? Well, of course, Mike. And they do support terrorism. They do. Who do they support? Well, Hezbollah. Everybody knows that. This is astonishing. This is astonishing. This Pete Hextra, hoaxster, Republican of Michigan, this evil bastard should be handed the rifle and send him right into the heart of downtown Baghdad. And I'm not talking about the green zone. Go ahead, you coward. Go ahead, Peter. The House Intelligence Committee is led by this freak. And he says Iran is a growing threat. They're going to come and get us. And he's criticizing our spy agencies for cautious assessments about Iran's weapons. Cautious assessment. He don't want caution. He wants murder and mayhem. He wants invasion, as long as it's not his ass that's over there or anybody in his family. You cowardly punk. I'd like to have 20 minutes alone with Peter Hoekstra just to talk. He says, quote, intelligence community managers and analysts must provide their best analytical judgments about Iranian WMD programs and not shy away from provocative conclusions or bury disagreements in consensus assessments. Huh? In other words, lie. Lie to these dumbass Americans once again. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. These people want war. Are you going to do it? Look, are you a Republican? Are you a conservative? Are you insane? Are you going to support this? Are you going to back this? You want more death, more destruction? More putting America in jeopardy? More terrorists that just come bubbling up out of the ground thanks to this Bush bastard and the cowards that run this country right now, the warmonger? Is that what you want? You Republicans, I know you people are freaked out and crazy, but do you really want this? Are you ready to give up your son, your daughter, your sister, your brother, your mama, your daddy? Are you willing to do that? Or do you want somebody else to go do it for you? Huh? Answer me!
Say that the war here is over.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, 4 ultrasound tests. No needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Sometimes I'm happy. You know, this is... But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Go fight the war, George. Take your cowardly sons of bitches with you. Go ahead. All of y'all. Go ahead. Arm yourselves and go. Come on, George. You have access to the most powerful military in the history of the human race. I want to see you and William Crystal and the Pearl and Wolfowitz. Come on, that old bastard can walk. You're sending 55-year-old men over there now. Anyway, go ahead. Let's get Cheney out there. How about arming Condoleezza? Send them all over. Come on, George. Let's put together the White House squad. Okay? Come on, you can do it. And include your daughters, too. They're ready to go fight. Come on. And your nephews. You know, the ones that constantly get caught in shopping centers having sex in the backseat of cars, and the ones that do drugs, and the ones that are breaking and entering. Come on. Get your brothers, too. All of your brothers, George. Come on. Come on. Come on. You put together that patrol, and, buddy, I'll support you. By God, I'll become a Republican. I will, George. Oh, my God, take Hannity and O'Reilly with you, too. Hannity looks like he needs to have a couple of holes put in his ass, right? Come on, get them all over there. Get Limbaugh. How about Limbaugh? Get Geraldo. Geraldo likes to draw things in the sand. Come on, George. Get him over there. Let's go. Come on, we got to defend freedom and democracy in the Middle East. Come on, George. Huh? You game, buddy? Are you? Take George Allen with you, too. Oh, yeah, and Bill Frist. I want to see Frist in a uniform. By God, I bet he'd be handsome. Don't you think? Huh? Get Trent Lott over there. And Lieberman. Don't forget Lieberman. He supports that war. Come on. Get him over there. You cowardly pissants. Every one of you. Every one of you. Let somebody else's father die. Let somebody else's son get his... half his face shot off. Man, I get angry. I'm too angry to do talk radio. I belong in a rubber bungalow someplace, Kathy. Get too damn angry.
You should be working a drive-thru window at McDonald's or something. That's where your anger could be put to its best and most productive use.
Yeah. Any of you right-wing cowardly snakes want to call this program tonight? Come on, any of you, I'm ready for you. Any of you Republicans, what's that half-wit's name in Phoenix? What's his name, Mark? Not you, Mark, you're useless. Any right-wingers out there, come on, I'm begging you to call in. You know you sit there in the dark playing with yourself when I'm on the air. Come on, call in. I'll eat your asses alive. Good God. What's this? There's an independent? Okay, let's find out what this is all about. Kevin is calling from Sacramento. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
Good.
What is an independent?
Well, it's someone that is angry at my liberal beliefs. Because I see
the. Are you a middle of the roader? Would that be a fair?
No.
No.
No, I fall on the left. We shouldn't have gone to Iraq. Didn't have to. It was a lie. All that stuff. I'm down with all that.
Yeah.
My problem is, and why I can't come all the way and start voting for these Democrats that I wished I could, is I see them so often being the very way of the people that we can't stand.
Like, what do you mean?
Like using fear all the time
fear? What fear? What fear are Democrats using?
Every day, all day
what
long.
Fear?
Fear?
What fear?
Of how America's going to turn out.
What are you talking about? That's truth.
It's
give me an example.
Fear.
Give me a concrete example or go harass some other talk show. Give me a concrete example. Democrats using fear about how this country's going to turn out? Go ahead.
I'll give you an example. During the election, they were saying that they're going to implement the draft to make people afraid.
What are you talking about what the hell are you talking about? That's been talked about by Charlie Rangel for 4 years. Do you have an alternative? How are you going to get bodies into George Bush's meat machine without a draft? Did that scare anybody?
Yes.
Who did it scare? You?
A lot of my friends, and no, and I would tell them too. I was worried about it because.
So this is what you see as your those Democrats using fear the same way the Republicans do. Are you out of your mind?
No. I didn't say the same. I know it's not equal. I'm saying they bait. I think they bait us into acting like the very thing we call them.
Come on, get real. You're talking in circles. You sound like you listen to too much Hannity. What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. Now, I know you...
If I knew what you were talking about, Kevin, I wouldn't say, what are you talking about? Oh, never mind. Goodbye, Kevin. Have a nice night. Get out of here. Go away. Jesus, I hate that. I'd rather deal with a flat-out screaming neocon racist thug murderer than somebody who's, well, you know, I believe in what Jim, and you are a middle-of-the-roader, obviously, and I believe what Jim Hightower said years ago, the only thing you find in the middle of the road is a yellow line and dead armadillos. You're out of here. Go away. Go away! Now he'll call the Sacramento radio station. He'll say, well, you know, I tried to call Mike Malloy's program, and he was impolite to me.
That'll make him the 1,743,960. Maybe he'll get a T-shirt. I think they ran out of T-shirts.
God, I hate that. I hate that. That's like, you know, some of my friends here in the South who happen to be colored would say to me and have said to me for 30 years, Malloy, the thing about the South, anyway, is when you deal with a racist here, you know the son of a bitch wants to lynch you. I'd rather deal with that up front, straight ahead. Look me in the eye. When some of this weaselly, waffly, I feel the same way politically. I don't like moderates. You know when moderates fit in or independents fit in? I don't know, 40 years ago, maybe 50? What do you find moderate? What do you find in today's political system that's moderate? What do you find that could be addressed by independents? Independents, my ass! You're either on the side of truth and justice or you're a Republican! Independent? There's no longer any gray areas. And these filthy, murderous conservatives have made it that way. Oh, Jesus, not another one. Bruce is calling from Oak Forest, Illinois. Bruce, welcome to the program. What do you got on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just want to tell you, this show is great. You said so many great things tonight, it's kind of hard to pick out a place to start.
Yeah?
But regarding the report on Iran that, you know, maybe we're not doing enough to kind of head off a crisis.
No. You misunderstood what I said. You need to go to NewYorkTimes.com and read it. What the bitch is about is this. The Republicans and the war lovers are saying that the U.S. intelligence agencies are not whipping up enough lies and deceit and fear to get the American public to back another invasion of another country who's done nothing to us. That's what the article's about.
Yeah, I completely see eye to eye with you on that. What I'm wondering about is, you know, it's so funny that there's always the same violence. You know, it's always just the same violence happening, and it's been happening for so long. But during the Clinton administration, the right wing wisdom was, you know, well, Clinton cut back on the military, and you know, so the barracks bombings.
Hold on, because you're displaying the kind of ignorance that gets you hung up on this program. The President of the United States does not decide how much money is going to be spent on the military. Do you know who does?
Answer the question.
Do you know who does?
I know it has to do a lot with weapons contractors.
No. Who decides?
The people who are getting paid, the weapons contract.
No, who decides how much of the taxpayer money is going to be spent on weaponry?
Congress, appropriations.
Hey, bingo! Then why are you saying Clinton cut back on the military? Well, did Clinton veto a bill authorizing money for the United States military? Did he?
No.
Okay. How long did have the Republicans controlled the U.S. House where spending bills originate? How long?
Since the Clinton administration, correct?
Bingo. You're doing good so far. So why do you say that Clinton cut the military?
Well, no, because it's conventional right-wing wisdom. They want to pin everything on Clinton, you know. Oh,
so you don't believe it?
You're confusing me.
I'm getting lost here. I'm not sure if you are attacking or defending. You've got me going in circles. So I'll tell you what. Let me put you on hold. We got a break. We'll come back and see if you can straighten me out. Okay?
All right. We'll do.
Okay. Just stay right there. We'll be right back. This is Air America.
Bomb them to hell, but I'd rather not be Kentucky Fried. Call me a chicken hawk. Proud to be a chicken hawk. Watch while I bring the mop. Receive to all the rock. I didn't walk the walk, but I can talk the talk. Walk, 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 walk. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, I'll tell you part. The chicken crossed the road to join the Texas Air National Guard.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring a 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Thank you.
know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
It's about 10 before the hour, 9 before the hour. This Air America. Back to, where'd he go? Bruce. Were we talking to Bruce? Is that, yeah, okay, Bruce, in Illinois. Now, I'm either totally misunderstanding you, make a complete ass of myself, or you're saying things that are making me go off like a firecracker. Which is it?
Well, trust me, you're not making an ass of yourself. I do enough of that for myself, so it's probably me. But, you know, you said something very interesting about the, it had to do with the candidate from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I thought it was so poignant when you said, you know, did the Bush, she won't come out and admit, or she won't take a side whether
she says the government.
Did they let it happen?
Right.
Did they let it happen or make it happen?
Right.
And I think it's so poignant that you point that out because, it's a sort of institutionalized pattern of behavior. It's always the same violence, and I wish it would stop.
What was it you wanted to say about Clinton?
Well, you know, were there things that it's just so funny that during the Clinton administration, the conventional right wing was, well, Clinton's not doing enough, you know, to stop things like the USS Cole from happening, you know, not doing enough to stop Al-Qaeda. And, you know, now the Bush administration is you know, sort of up on his nest, as you would put it. And it's just, it's this violence. It keeps happening, but, you know, somehow that this violence is, you know, is more powerful than the violence during the Clinton administration when Al-Qaeda was bombing ships. You know, I personally don't think that Clinton was involved in allowing those things happen. But, I mean, if we didn't see 9/11...
Okay. All right, Bruce, let me stop and first of all, apologize to you as deeply as I can. I had the impression from what you were saying, the reason I was screaming at you is because I was still pissed off from the other caller, but I thought you were using that Republican ploy that somehow all this is Clinton's fault. So, you know, I was going off half-cocked there, and that's not what you were saying. And, I got my ass in front of my brains and couldn't see where I was sitting or whatever, however that saying goes. So let me just say I apologize for coming across like a jerk, all right?
Yeah, it's, hey, man, you didn't.
People out here listening to the program were probably sitting there going, Jesus, Malloy's making an ass of himself. That, you know, if it didn't register with you, good. I feel relieved that you didn't get the ugliness that was coming from me. But let me apologize anyway, and let's go on with what you were saying.
It's very frustrating that the violence everywhere continues in general, you know, and you can say whatever you want about being a realist, but this violence has to stop. And I just think that Clinton was much more reserved in how he, you know, sent the military out. And if you want to call it, you know, if you want to believe, I suppose, that they cut back on spending, fine. But, you know, what happens when Bush gets into power? Terrible terrorist event. You know, weapons spending goes way up, whether the president actually appropriates.
No.
When are people going to wake up and see that this violence must, like, it has to stop? It is going nowhere.
Yeah.
It's not generating economy. How come all that manpower in Iraq isn't rebuilding New Orleans, you know?
Right.
Isn't paying attention to people here, isn't building bridges and, you know, stuff like that.
I got you. All right, Bruce, listen, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. And again, I'm sorry for coming across like a half-wit. All right?
I apologize for saying the F word. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. All right, Bruce, we'll talk again. They got that in New York, right? Oh, good. Everybody holding heard it. Oh, well, see, that's instant karma. You know, I come across like a jackass with the caller, and that happens.
I think we just dumped jackass.
We did? Can't say that either, huh? All right. No, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to take the break here at the top of the hour to go across the hall, Kathy, into the bathroom and hold my head under the faucet for about 10 minutes because I totally misunderstood the guy at the beginning there and just jumped all over him. And that's really, really, really out of line on my part. I usually wait until I'm sure I have a freak and then go off, but I just didn't with him. I just probably sounded like hell. People first tuning in the program going, Jesus, let's forget this guy.
I have a jump rope in the back of the car if when you want to go in the bathroom, you want to flagellate your back for 10 or 15 minutes. No, I know. You're frustrated because we have baby Bonkers back now that she's two.
Yeah.
It's baby Bonkers to the 10th power now.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I'm getting no sleep. This is my excuse. I'm getting no sleep. And when you deal with a two-year-old, for those of you who have dealt with a very intelligent, wonderful, sweet little two-year-old who is asserting her independence, she's claiming her space, and her space happens to be as big as the whole damn universe, apparently. It's all hers, and Kathy and I are just in it, and we're in her way. And it's just kind of bizarre to go through it.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't kidding last night when I said we were looking in her crib for a radioactive spider. I asked my mother this morning if I should call the pediatrician or the exorcist. Boom, boom. The end of my job.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But that's, I guess that's my excuse with the caller is that I'm just, sleep deprived. I'm approaching old age. I still claim middle age, but I'm sleep deprived. I can't get drunk or stoned anymore because it just doesn't work. And besides that, I'm a responsible broadcaster parent, so I can't do that. So I jump all over the caller when I think I heard something I didn't hear. Oh, God, now it's hallucinations. We'll be back after the break. I'm heading for the John. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. French President Jacques Chirac has announced his country will contribute an extra 1,600 soldiers to the UN-Lebanon force. Speaking through a translator, Chirac said Paris had received the guarantees it was looking for over the role of the UN force.
It was my responsibility to obtain a number of guarantees from the parties to the conflict, as from the United Nations. And from Lebanon and Israel, we obtained the assurance that the forces in question would be able to fulfill their mission on the ground.
Speaking in a televised address, Chirac also said France would be willing to lead the international peacekeeping mission. The announcement comes ahead of talks today between European Union foreign ministers and UN Secretary General Kofi Annan in Brussels. Reverend Jesse Jackson will head to the Middle East today to make what he calls a moral appeal for the release of two Israeli soldiers. The soldiers were taken hostage by the militant group Hezbollah, and their fate is not known. Jackson says he'll also try to convince Israel and Lebanon to expand and enforce a ceasefire agreement. He'll also seek information about a third Israeli soldier abducted in the Gaza Strip, as well as the fate of two Fox News journalists. At least two people are dead and three others wounded, including the gunman, following a series of shootings in Essex, Vermont, Thursday. Police in Essex say shootings took place in two residences and at the Essex Elementary School. After killing a teacher at the elementary school and wounding two other people, the gunman apparently shot himself. That gunman and the injured have been taken to a Burlington healthcare facility for treatment, according to police. Investigators believe a domestic incident triggered the shooting spree. Several wildfires continue to burn across Washington state, and now firefighters from Arizona, New Mexico, and Oregon are helping fight a fire near Dayton, Washington. Resources were doubled after the governor declared a state emergency. The Columbia Complex fire in the southeast portion of the state has forced 300 residents to evacuate and is threatening 200 others. Dwight Robansky at the Fire Command Center says the terrain and weather conditions continue to challenge firefighters.
It's a very rugged mountainous area, and it has different types of fuel.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. No, it didn't go over the air, so that's all that matters regarding the FCC and the Bush crime family's attempt to close the network, close this network down, which they would love to do. It was heard by internet listeners, and that's still not regulated yet. So for everybody who's a little bit concerned, who is on hold or listening on the internet, it's cool. Before we get back into this madness, Kathy, Susan in Columbia City, Oregon writes, Mike, ah yes, the terrible twos. I raised two. You all have my profound condolences. I would say that it will get better over time, but that would be a lie. It gets different. I still shudder at the memory of my kids going through puberty. Again, my sympathies.
Thank God she's cute.
Who, Susan or Molly?
Molly.
Molly, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Cute goes a long way.
Cute goes a long way in stopping you when you want to pick up a chair, you know, like you do with a caged lion, and just say, back, back!
Go to your room. Stay there till Saturday.
Right. Oh, this is absolutely hysterical, raising a two-year-old. All right, but nobody really cares about that. We're here to talk about the Bush crime family. But that the only reason I brought it up is that's my excuse for going off on the caller. And there's no excuse for that. Haven is calling from North Carolina. Haven, welcome to the program. What part of North Carolina?
Durham.
Oh, okay. I used to live in Raleigh. I'm starting to get all intense about North Carolina again because I spent a long weekend there last weekend. But anyway, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Let me see. Well, my I had a couple of issues, but who has Iran wiped off the map within the past several years?
Who?
Yeah.
Who has it wiped off the map?
Yeah.
The Bush crime family?
No, who has Iran wiped off the map?
Oh, Iran. Can't think of anyone.
Can you think of anybody that the Bush crime family has wiped off the map within the past?
No, hundreds of thousands of people at this point.
Afghanistan.
Yeah, most
Iraq,
of them civilians, right. Mostly civilians.
Assisted with wiping Haiti off the map.
Yeah, that's gone. That's just a hole in the Caribbean.
Assisted with wiping Lebanon off the map.
Yeah.
Almost got Venezuela, but they forgot to take the guy's cell phone from him.
Right.
My point is, we might not be able to trust Iran, but at the same time, when you compare the one against the other, is really a problem because this is embarrassing.
Well,
they're
sure,
threatened.
Sure. You're absolutely right, Haven. Let me add this: Iran has no truck with us, even though we overthrew their government and removed their prime minister back in 1953 and put the Shah of Iran in place. We overthrew their government and installed a dictator and then immediately helped that dictator, the Shah of Iran, set up a secret police force that tortured and murdered Allah only knows how many people in Iran. But the Iranian people, I think, truly appreciate Americans. There's an awful lot of Iranians in this country. When the attack on 9/11 occurred in this country, there was video that I saw of people in Iran going into the streets in sympathy for the United States, for what we had suffered. The Iranians are not Arabs. They are Persians. They don't like to be considered Arabs. They happen to be Muslim, but there's Jews there and Christians there, and I would imagine some Zoroastrians and probably a few atheists. They are oriented towards the West. They want to be considered a part of the West at some point, but they are Muslim. They have their religion, and their religion to them does not dictate murder and mayhem and blowing things up. They also happen to be the nation that sits on the second largest reserves of oil on the planet, which is the only reason this rotten son of a bitch in the White House wants to attack, is because he wants the oil. So as far as the Iranians are concerned, The Iranians I have known, and I have known a few, way back when I was in high school, there were a couple of families who were from Iran, who lived in Toledo, Ohio, and I met the kids and subsequently met the families. And I realize you can't judge 90 million people on how a couple, three of them behaved, but, or how you got along with them. But, you know, I have no complaint against the Iranians. Not then, not now. I have no complaint at all. In 1979, when they invaded our embassy and took hostages, well, it took them 26 years to react to the fact that we overthrew their government and put a dictator in who immediately started torturing them. So, I hate this. I hate it, Haven. I hate it.
It is very, it's just crazy that we don't, negotiating would seem to be the easiest thing in the world. Considering everything you just said, seems like negotiating would just be almost second nature, common sense.
Yeah, you don't beat people up and have them say, I love you. The only way you can get people, get folks to work out compromise is to sit around and talk. That's the oldest lesson there is. Are we still living in caves and coming out at each other with clubs and sticks and say, beating on each other? The idea of sitting down and discussing things and saying, okay, look, here's my complaint against you. What's your complaint against me? But you know, the right wingers in this country say that no, if you do that, you're a wimp. You're a liberal. You want to talk with them? Oh, you want to talk with them? Oh, no, let's kill them. You know, you want to cut and run, don't you? You know, that kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
I just wonder if this country, Haven, will ever throw these bastards out of office and keep them out of office and get rid of Limbaugh and get rid of Hannity, get rid of all these lying snakes, these evil deceivers that are screwing up this country. And I probably doubt it. Haven, I'm glad you called, man. Thanks a lot. Take care. We'll talk again, all right? All right, take care. Take care. Diane is calling from Boulder, Colorado. Diane, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I know that I should be topical and discuss how the United States Diplomatic Corps is happy that France is going to contribute to the peacekeeping mission in Lebanon, except that we're the ones who are trying to defund and destroy the UN in the first place, and now we get bully others to clean up our own mess.
That's true. That's true. They're jumping all over France because France is not willing to take the lead. It looks like the Italians are going to take the lead. I'm Italian, so I can say this. The Italians are going to take the lead? Oh, my God. Well, that means we're going to go nowhere.
I know that this requires a diplomatic solution, which no one really seems to be pushing hard. They weren't pushing it hard during the month of chaos, and they're not pushing it now. And they have the nerve to say that they were disappointed in Israel because they didn't wipe Lebanon off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I can't say anything smart about it, and that's basically why I avoided talking to the past month. I listened every day, but I knew you were going through hell. Your screeners were, and everybody who cared about the Middle East but not wanting to close off their mind to what the State Department tells us is correct always.
Mm-hmm.
What the President tells us is correct always. That even though now we can afford to have little divertissements about being concerned about Sumner Redstone putting the boot to Tom Cruise, we know that we let chaos and near genocide happen.
Yeah.
That hasn't gone away.
Do you want to hold on a minute? Because you've only been on for a minute 44 seconds. I'd like to give you a little more time. You want to hold on?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. We'll do a break and come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
22 past the hour. Back to Diane, who's called in from Boulder, Colorado. Where were we, Diane? Oh, that's right. You're talking about Tom Cruise. Just kidding.
Well, as a side point, we were discussing last week the incipient death of NORAD through dishonor. and its effect on a certain science fiction program. News came this week that, yes, Sci-Fi Channel is canceling Stargate SG-1, and I hereby claim responsibility.
How so?
I put the idea out there that maybe the youth of America could stand seeing NORAD's shining face over and over again, but the parents who understood what happened on 9/11 and who may have lost people that they cared about don't want to be reminded about the one day in which our entire defense system decided to take a nap. So that vibe may be out there. There might have been a New York executive at Sci-Fi Channel that said, you know, this is pretty darn sick. Always looking at this place as if it's going to do something. Why don't we just, like, have a moment of reality here and say, see ya, 200 episodes is enough. So, I also hereby claim responsibility for the death of the show JAG, because once Abu Ghraib happened, I predicted, I put it out there in the heavens, it ain't going to be lasting much longer. How can you have all these judge advocate generals bopping around, not noticing the horrible mutilated tiger in the middle of the room?
Yeah.
They can't. There's certain realities that sort of skid up against TV shows and just let them wither and fade away.
So, are you a television activist then?
No, I simply put my thoughts out there into the ether, and somehow they are responded to.
Oh, I see. All right. Well,
the one thought that hasn't been responded to, and I'm sorry for jumping over. I just want to be very brief.
Go ahead.
Is that we don't have a show that tells us what it's going to be like after we kick that bastard out of the White House.
That's true.
We have alternate universes that say, oh, he never existed. Oh, there's President Bartlett. How nice. Oh, there's that Browsy person who used to, like, fight pirates and do things with, like, fraction serial husband, and now is reduced to doing a television show.
Uh-huh.
And you say, well, that's nice, but how do we take our democracy back if we can't even picture it in our heads?
That's...
We can picture some of it. We can picture revolution, but that's other people's revolution. It's somehow accompanied with constructivist Soviet imagery and
that's a good point. Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's very difficult to see ourselves in the streets, right?
Well, not just that. We are not picking it out of our own heads. We sort of think, well, there's part where our imagination stops. We have the biggest military-industrial entertainment complex in the universe.
That's true.
And we cannot yet figure out what it's going to be and how we will have to be as human beings in order to take our country back. We can easily have a model become a chief of police solving serial killings on the daytime soaps than it is for us to figure out how do we as individuals take our country back. We can think of Cylons being hot babes and being indistinguishable from any model in Canada, but we cannot think of how it's going to be when we're as human beings who can take our country back.
That's true. That's
it's not
true.
Pilot season yet, but there's a few months left. I suggest that people out there who do care about the democracy, who will not do business with Tom Cruise, it's a personal favor of me,
yeah,
of mine,
yeah,
and who can actually talk to a studio or even a cable channel or even
yeah,
YouTube,
right,
depict it.
Okay.
Let us have faith in that other aspect, too, the cheap opiate of the people. We need to know how the drugs are going to work, too.
I hear you. I hear you. Diane, as always, I just feel uplifted.
Thank you for letting me rant.
After your phone call. You take care. You take
Bye-bye.
Care. We'll talk again. Kathy? What exactly did she just say? I'm sorry. Some of it was way over my head.
I know. I was pulling Molly off the ceiling for the moment. So she's back down on the floor, so I missed a lot of it. But I miss JAG, too, just so she knows. And she's not the only one. And I'm terrified one day you're going to leave me for Diane and Boulder.
She's wonderful. And she, God, I love Diane and Boulder. Where are we here? Leave you? I would never leave you for anybody. Are you crazy? Oh,
yeah,
my
that's,
God.
That's because there's nobody else who would take Molly off the ceiling at 2 in the morning.
That's true. Leave you? Ah. Okay, where are we? Sean is calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm
doing great. How are you? Listen, I'm going to have to ask you to hold on for a second because we have a commercial break coming up here, but we'll come right back to you as soon as the break is over. Can you hold on?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Problem.
All right. We'll come back to the Tar Heel here in just a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America Radio.
Nice.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later, I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, 4 ultrasound tests, no needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul. I own your old new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We'll be right back.
Iraqi regime is a threat of unique urgency. It has developed weapons of mass death.
Yeah, I had math death in Algebra 1. He's such an ass. Okay, now, who was it I said we could... Oh, it was Sean in Raleigh, North Carolina. All right, Sean, let her rip. What's up?
Hey, Mike. Thank you. First of all, I want to thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My thing is, obviously, we know the Iraq affair is a mess. It's definitely a mess. Most Republicans, and I'm sure 99% of Democrats would agree with that. My thing is with, you know, listening to the media, both on the radio, on TV, and in the paper, the left just doesn't seem to have a grasp on what they can say as a solution to being of a withdrawal out of Iraq.
What now? The left doesn't have a grasp on what?
The left side of the house just doesn't. I don't hear anybody from the left side of the house saying that there's a solution. Like, what should we do if we withdraw from Iraq? What would happen?
Wait a second. You got two questions there. You're throwing two things in making it one question. First of all, your premise is absolutely insane. People on the left have been saying, from before the war began, how to end it. Don't.
Okay,
wait. If you want
there.
To, no, stop. I swear to God, I'll cut you off. And I don't want to do that. But if you're going to present, if you're going to present something to me, then I'm going to answer it. The left has been saying since before the war started, don't start it. That's how you cut it off. Now, subsequent to this psycho bastard in Washington starting this war and now this occupation, we on the left have been saying, go away, pull out, leave. We have no business there.
I understand what you're saying.
Very okay. simple, very simple. Okay. Now.
Now that we're there.
Now, wait a second. I don't buy that now that we're there crap. Here's what can happen. Once we pull out, the civil war that's going on there now is going to continue. That civil war would have happened 10 years ago if the United States and the United Kingdom had not done their damnedest to deprive the middle class in Iraq the ability to rise up and throw the son of a bitch out of office and hang him in the streets like they did to Mussolini. That's A. Here's B. After we attacked that country in 1991 under George Herbert Walker Bush, word was sent to the Shiites in the, or to the Sunnis or Shiites, I don't remember, I guess the Shiites in the South, that if they would rise up, the United States would help them. They rose up, Saddam slaughtered them, and George Herbert Walker Bush, being the cowardly son of a bitch that he is, let them all die. Now that's two. Now here's three. We on the left have a very simple exit plan, get the troops, and get the hell out. The Civil War is in full flower. It's going to continue. George W. Bush has set Iraq up to become an ally of Iran, to become the Islamic Republic of Iraq, which will then cause more problems, if it chooses to, in the Middle East. It may not choose to, but there's only one exit strategy that makes sense. Get out.
Okay, now I understand what you're saying, Mike, and that all makes sense.
But
what do we do now? Because if we get out, I'm afraid that Iran is going to become more emboldened. They're going to support more of the terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. They're going to take over Iraq, which in overall will become more of a threat terrorist-wise to the United States of America.
You're a very scared man, aren't you?
I'm not a scared man.
Well, you sound like you didn't. You just say what you're afraid of.
Geopolitical view right now.
No, didn't you just say what you're afraid of if we pull out? Why are you afraid of Iranians and Iraqis? Let me ask you something.
I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of.
Well, then, what's your problem? Why not? Why not pull out the
leader? The leader of Iran specifically has said many times to the world that he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the
earth. No, he hasn't. He said it one time. No, he hasn't. He said it one time. No, he hasn't.
I've heard it.
He said it one time. Get rid of this guy. You're out of here. I'm not going to be interrupted. Goodbye. To hell with you. You'll either have a dialogue when you call this program if you won't. Or you won't. If you won't, you're gone. It's very simple. All right? This the guy who heads the president, prime minister, whatever the hell he is in Iran, the civilian, not the religious people. He said at one time, he's an ass. So what? What are you, an Israeli? Is that what you're concerned about? You tell me he's threatened Israel. Do you live in Israel? Are you an Israeli? You live in America. America overthrew his government. America is threatening to put sanctions on his country. So what's your problem? Don't even start with that nonsense. And once you do start with it, if you want to have dialogue and have me hand you your ass in an intellectual smackdown, fine, we'll do it. But when you refuse to talk and keep parroting this right-wing drivel, especially when the drivel that you're parroting has to do with what Iran says about Israel. I think Israel can take care of itself where it concerns Iran, Mr. Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't think you have to worry about it one whit. Where do these people come from? Never mind. All right, back to some phone calls here. Alejandro is calling from San Bernardino, California. Alejandro, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. First-time caller, and I'm glad I got through.
Well, me too. I hope.
I really respect your show, Mike. I respect what you have to say. It's refreshing, really. Sometimes I think I'm insane. But, you know, it's nice to know there's other people that have these same feelings, you know. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, listen now, the problems over there in Iraq are problems. It's kind of like the dumbing down of America. I go to high schools all the time, and I go to grade schools, and you know what? They don't teach civics.
Why do you go to these schools? What do you do?
Well, what I do, I work for the Veterans Administration here in Loma Linda.
Oh, okay. You're a Vietnam vet?
Yeah. And I go because my grandkids go to high school, you know, and I worry about them. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about me. I worry about them. I don't want them to become cannon fodder, you know?
I hear you.
That scares the hell out of me. I don't fear terrorists. You know? I guess it's what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a terrorism. It's a tactic. You were in the military, I believe, weren't you?
No, I was not.
Okay, well, terrorism is a tactic. It's not a war, okay? There's no war. You can have terrorism. A war on terrorism will never end, you know.
Sure.
Terrorism is a tactic. It's a war tactic, you know. So these words, these play on words these Republicans use, or the president uses, for that matter,
mm-hmm.
It's a play on words. You know? And if people don't understand these words, and most of the people don't that I talk to, I really talk to some very ignorant people that do have no clue. I don't know, they get all their reports from Fox News or CNN or something, but nobody does any creative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know why Vietnam happened, but yet they voted for it, and then they were against it, for and against it, and all that. But they don't know the history at all. They just take what an elected official says for them to be true, and they don't care. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know, right now in America, nobody cares. Really, Iraq is just something that's happening over there. Unless you're directly involved, and which I see a lot of kids coming back, you know, they don't care. I even talked to my uncle. They don't even know where Iraq is.
You talk
you know,
to who?
To my own kids. Oh. They don't even know where part of the world Iraq is. What they watch is MTV.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I try to explain it to them, but it doesn't register. And I wonder why. So when I talk to the counselors in schools, I wonder, well, they're not teaching them anything.
Mm-hmm.
They don't teach them history. They don't teach them civics, why you should vote.
I think a lot of teachers are afraid to. I think teachers are dedicated to their profession, most of them, but they know damn good and well. You know, teachers are, I think, Alejandro, are just like you and me. They've got bills, they've got mortgage payments, they got kids they're trying to raise, and they know that if they go to work and try to teach history the way history should be taught, that they're going to be called in by the principal or some right-wing little snot in their class is going to go home and say, Mommy, guess what? Our teacher said the world is really 2 billion years old, Mommy. Guess what? Guess what? You know, and that's going to result in being called into a board meeting and said, well, you're not allowed to teach evolution or you're not allowed to teach history. Don't tell these little children about slavery or genocide where it concerns the foundation of this country or you'll lose your job. I hear what you're saying, Alejandro, but I think it's because of the pressure put on school teachers by the right wing. We just have to get them out of office. And Alejandro, I've got to leave it there. I hope you said it's your first time calling. I hope you'll call again, okay?
All right.
All right. Thank have a nice night. Thank you very much. You take care.
Because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their fathers have did slowly go by. And feed them on your dream, the one they fix, the one you...
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
before the hour. Thanks to Justin Yuen and Tim MacArthur, who engineered the program in New York tonight. David Weisman, answer your calls tonight. Thanks to all three of you guys. Do appreciate it. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Thank you. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. A couple of emails here quickly. Anita writes in, Mike, the largest minority religion in Iran is the Baha'i faith. Please read about how they are treated. Their universal house of justice and shrine is located on Mount Carmel in Haifa, Israel. Perhaps you've seen pictures of Haifa with a gold dome, a gold-domed building high on the hill. While I don't want another incident of mass murder, speaking of Iran as a loving place may not be completely accurate. Baha'is, while probably the most peaceful world religion, are hanged for no reason or just disappear. This has been going on since its beginning in 1844. Read about the faith. It might be one you could subscribe to. We lived not far from the Baha'i Temple in Evanston, Illinois, for about 4 years and used to make frequent trips up there. It was an awesome place to go inside the temple. And occasionally there would be speakers. I don't mean to imply that Iran is a religiously tolerant society. The United States is not a religiously tolerant society any longer. It is coming to the point where, as in Iran, if you do not subscribe to a fundamentalist brand of Islam, you're looked at rather askance. In this country, if you don't subscribe to a fundamentalist form of Christianity, you're looked at. The Baha'is in Iran, I think, would be like Wiccans in the United States. You understand what I mean by that, Anita? I think you do. This is from Rob. I love your show and hate to say this to you, but in spite of your understandable anger, please be gentle with callers who hate the Iraq war but want you to tell them why we should leave now. They're not mindless wingnuts. They need someone to calmly explain to them what's going on. Please be patient with them. In any case, Ahmadinejad did not say anything about wiping Israel off the map. Thanks to the dunderheaded U.S. national media that doesn't understand Farsi, this mistranslation has become conventional wisdom. And then he says, here's what Juan Cole had to say about that, and he gives me a website. Essentially, what Iran's blustery president said was that Israel's dominion of the Holy Lands should vanish from the earth, not by suicide bombers, but because it's fundamentally false, a big difference from wiping anything off the map. Anyway, just trying to help, Rob. Well, I appreciate that. As far as being impatient with people about withdrawing or the left doesn't have a plan to get us out of Iraq, yeah, I claim the impatience. But I'll take it to the next level. It's not impatience. It's just flat-out rage because millions of us globally took to the streets before this psychopath invaded Iraq and demanded, begged, pleaded, used everything, logic, common sense, examples of U.S. imperialism, a desire for a non-warlike attitude, especially, oh my God, especially in the Middle East. And it was all ignored. And when people call this program, I guess it's from being in radio for 22 years. When people call this program and start presenting their argument, I pretty much can get a sense of what they're, not because I'm bright, but because I have been in the business long enough to get a sense of what the subtext is of what they are talking about. And the subtext of the caller from Raleigh was simply that the left has nothing to offer, which is bat squeeze. That's insane to even say that. If nothing else, has he not heard of Jack Murtha? And if he has heard of Jack Murtha but decides that, well, that's not the way to go, this is crazy. This is like setting someone's house on fire and then saying, well, gee, there must be a way to keep matches out of my hands. You know, you just want to go up to somebody like that and beat the living hell out of them because of their ignorance, because of their rage, and because you're watching your house burn down. I'm sorry. I, Rob, I wish I were a more balanced human being. I wish I were like Tom Hartman. And I mean that. I wish I were like Sam Cedar. I wish I were more balanced, where when somebody comes to this program and says, well, the left has no answer for Iraq, that I could say, well, yada, 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 and give them what you're suggesting I give them. or be gentle with callers who hate the Iraq war but want you to tell them why we should leave now. I don't have that in me. Whatever that element is, goes to my two-year-old all day long. Do you understand what I'm saying? By the time I get to this program, I am out of patience. I use it all with my two-year-old. When I get a phone call that reminds me of my two-year-old, then I can't do it any longer. I can look at Molly and I see a little two-year-old, curly-haired, toe-headed sweetheart who's standing there telling me to sit down, Daddy! I want a cookie!
No, tiny fork! No tiny fork! Chocolate milk! No chocolate milk! No more chocolate milk! No supper! No supper! Cookie!
Right, right.
Sit down! Read a book! Not that book! Other book! Dream book! Not dream book! Right. Whole book!
Okay, we get it. So that's what I go through all day, Rob, and so does Kathy. You know, because we're a family, and we know we'll get through it. But by the time I get in here, I don't have any patience for any more of this two-year-old crap. Nobody has the right to ask me what the left's solution to Iraq is. I've been screaming it for 5 years before it even ever happened. So no, I have no patience, Rob. You're right that I should be gentle, but I can't. It's that simple. So when somebody comes here with that, and I slap the hell out of them, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say, except, well, that's just the way it goes on this program, which is a lousy explanation. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating. Take care. Watch your back. Okay, I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
No diaper. I take it up. I do. Me help. Mama, no. No, sit down. Get off. Go away, Mama. Go away.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Hello,
hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me in the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.